Welcome to the Freedom Report.
What I love about Austin Peterson is his love of the battle. He wants to fight.
Austin was, of course, the rabble-rouser, just to make sure I stayed Rothbardian.
We live in a world fraught with danger, and there is a certain amount of danger that the public must endure in order to secure the blessings of liberty.
For economic freedom and personal liberty. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Peterson here. Today is Monday, December the 10th, and welcome to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. And if you're listening to this show anytime between 7 a.m. or 11 a.m. Central Time, what are you doing? Your boy AP is actually live on the radio right now, this Monday and Tuesday, the 10th and 11th in Kansas City. I am hosting KCMO Talk Radio, filling in for my buddy Pete Mundo. Pete Mundo is a proud new father, and he's taking a couple of days off, and I am actually filling in, doing the morning show in Kansas City on KCMOTalkRadio.com. You can tune in and listen anytime again, Monday or Tuesday, between 6 a.m. and 11 a.m. Central Time. Monday and Tuesday, 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. And but if you're listening to the Freedom Report podcast any other time, thank you so much for being a loyal listener to my podcast. It's really difficult to build a career in media, I can tell you that much, especially when you're on your own. And the success of this podcast over the years has been a blessing to me and to my life. And I love being able to share with you all my thoughts in a format that is less restrictive. One of the things I realized about working on the radio show, of course, is that you have 5 to 7 minute blocks, kind of like what we did back in TV when I was working at Fox. But 5 to 7 minutes is not a long time to explain things. I actually had to find a way to break down what a trade deficit was the other day on the radio, trying to explain to people, you know, in a 5 to 7 minute sort of bite-sized format, exactly why trade deficits don't matter. It really is an interesting thing to talk to a general audience on a radio show out in Kansas City and to my podcast listeners. It's just a very different experience. Are you a big listener to podcasts? What are some of your other favorite podcasts? Love to hear your thoughts on that if you would leave in the comments below. So let's get to the big topic, big story of the day. And this broke over the weekend. One of my excellent new writers, Caleb Shumate, he's not Japanese. Caleb Shumate wrote an article about breaking news about Gavin McInnes, which many of you know. I was on his show, his former show, Get Off My Lawn, when we did a segment talking about machine guns in Manhattan back when I was running for the U.S. Senate. I see that Gavin McInnes is not going to be joining the Blaze Media. His show was on CRTV. Many of you know that CRTV and The Blaze recently formed a merger, two of these major outfits getting together. I thought it was a very good thing. But one, of course, of the big news items was that Michelle Malkin, as well as Gavin McInnes, would not be joining the new network. And the announcement, how we got it from The Blaze, was a little different than how we got it with Michelle Malkin, because we haven't heard from Gavin McInnes or his side of the story or what's going on. And a lot of people are jumping to conclusions, of course, and they're conspiracy theorizing, and people are saying that they're going to cancel their subscriptions, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, people are freaking out because he's got his fans. I'm sure that if something like this were to happen to me, there'd be a group of people out there who'd be very unhappy. But when Caleb Shumate wrote this article, he was just reporting it straight, big talk, mostly for the most part, talking about what Blaze TV had done, because they just simply tweeted it out. Let me read this to you. Caleb Shumate writes, as of 5:39 p.m. on Saturday, Blaze TV tweeted, Blaze Media no longer has a relationship with Gavin McInnes and per company policy cannot comment on personnel matters. McInnes was part of the talent Blaze Media gained as a result of its merger with CRTV and the host of the popular show Get Off My Lawn with Gavin McInnes. The merger has been estimated to reach around 165 million people on all platforms. McInnes' departure is the second out of two people from the CRTV who have left Blaze Media since the merger earlier this week. The first person to leave was former CRTV investigative journalist Michelle Malkin, who tweeted on December 3rd, I'm so proud of the investigative journalism I did for CRTV. So many heroes, so many compelling stories. I will not be continuing with the company, but wish my colleagues all the best. Now, let me just pause for a moment. I think, you know, of course, the difference in these two approaches here, the reason why I think people are freaking out more than just being upset or disappointed about not having Gavin McInnes is because they heard it from Michelle Malkin first, and then the way that Blaze TV tweeted it out, it was is just very kind of cold and corporate. If Gavin had been the person to tweet out, you know, that he wasn't moving over, people probably would have been a little more subdued. These kinds of things can be hard to get right in the corporate world, and it can be really difficult when there's a lot, especially when there's a lot of money involved. And talent, I mean, with every single talent, like a radio star, a television star, movie star, like they all of these famous people and everybody who's kind of a talent, they kind of have, you know, their egos and their pride and their own, you know, audiences that kind of move around with them, perhaps. It used to be back in the day that you didn't do what I was doing, right? You didn't own your audience as a talent. Right now, the people, if you're listening to the Freedom Report podcast, you are someone who is like, I will be able to take you with me wherever I go in my career, right? So it becomes more dangerous, right, to us in some ways when we're getting deplatformed. And I do want to talk about that as well, because it's not just that Gavin is not going to be joining the Blaze. And again, I'm not saying that he's being deplatformed by the Blaze in this sense. I mean, he kind of is, but we don't know for sure if Gavin didn't want this, right? Sometimes when you make mergers and acquisitions and things like this, it's quite possible that Gavin just maybe didn't get enough money. You know, maybe his contract didn't require him to go to a new company if he got acquired, and maybe he just didn't want to go. Maybe he just, you know, didn't care for the Blaze or whatever, or maybe he had other obligations that he wanted to go on. So, you know, a lot of people again are blowing up and making a big deal out of this, but I really think everybody needs to calm down until we figure out exactly what's going on. And again, not everybody has to work together. You know, again, maybe it's just not a good fit for the type of programming that they're doing. You know, you kind of got to see things from both angles and both sides before you freak out. Again, I like Gavin McInnes. He was really kind to me when I did his show. He said a lot of nice things about me, and you know, I'm one of those, you know, wild and wacky libertarians. I'm not like, you know, right wing proud boy kind of a guy. I'm not. I'm not the make America great again hat guy. I'm the make taxation theft again hat guy. So I kind of fall as an outlier outside of like some of the mainstream and semi mainstream operations that go on out there. That's why your boy AP will get booked sometimes at some events, and then some other times not at other things, right? Because I kind of exist in my own, the libertarian sphere exists in its own little microcosm, in a sense. But with this story, I wanted to read a little bit of a hit piece on Gavin from this website that I thought was interesting because, again, please understand that the reason why I'm reading this piece that's critical of Gavin is to show to you, the listener, you know, that this is what the critics are saying. You know, these are not my words, so please don't freak out and send me angry messages because, Austin, you betrayed Gavin or something like that. Like, you know, Gavin and I are, I wouldn't even say that we're acquaintances. He's just somebody that whose work I've admired to a degree. And I disagree with on quite a few things. But, yeah, so let me just read this article from Splinter.com. Proud Boys founder Gavin McInnes last less than a week at Blaze TV. Again, there were a lot of hit pieces out there, of course, like all the stupid left-wing blogs that are like crappy and they're just like flinging hot, vile invective. But this one actually attempts to do some journalism here. So let's have a read. It says, you know, Gavin's having some professional setbacks after walking away from the Proud Boys. And they're calling it a violent and weird right-wing group he founded to promote, quote, Western chauvinism, whatever that is. And that is true. That's what the Proud Boys were, you know, founded to start, was to promote this idea of what they called Western chauvinism. Yeah, already like Western, okay, chauvinism, I don't know, Gavin. According to The Hill, McInnes joined Blaze TV, a network fighting back against the liberal bias in mainstream media, right? Last Monday to host the TV version of his podcast, Get Off My Lawn. By Saturday, Blaze had tweeted that the two are parting ways. We know that. The announcement comes less than 2 weeks after it was reported that Australia's Home Affairs Department had decided to block a visa application by McInnes for a planned speaking tour there next year. Okay. According to the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, the department had determined that McInnes is a bad character. So let me just pause that for one brief moment here, because we got to talk about that. Because, so, right, there's some irony here, if you think about it, right? We've been having a lot of funny, ironic immigration stories recently. You know, Gavin McInnes, definitely from that kind of Trumper movement. They're not the big fans of the immigrants, right? They're not the big fans of the immigration. They're not with the libertarians on the immigration. So few people are, though, because I know reading books is hard, people. Mr. Gavin McInnes is blocked. He gets a visa blocked from visiting Australia. Well, Australia is just exercising their national sovereignty, right? And of course, I just triggered a whole bunch of, you know, Trump publicans who listen to my podcast. guys, you got to be able to think outside the box here. You got to think about this like that, right? That's how you are able to make sure that you're being reasonable. It's perfectly reasonable for Australia to, according to the philosophy, at least in McInnes, or at least of the philosophy of the right, or of the, you know, what maybe, you know, I would say immigration restrictionists, that's perfectly fine, right? That's what they ought to do. Keep out the damn foreigners, right? Well, I have a problem with that because, like, I think it's stupid because it's not like he's not a terrorist. They're saying he's of bad character. I mean, it's free speech in my mind. Like, what the people are afraid of his ideas. And the thing is like, there's this old John F. Kennedy statement, quote, that it reminds me of. People who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable. And it's like, you know, when conservatives, and I wish libertarians would get off their ass and protest something and do something useful for once, but when conservatives are, you know, going out and doing street activists, Kevin McInnes, he's a street fighter. So, of course, he's going to be a target list, right? He's, like, on the top 10 most wanted list by the left, right? Another target was Milo Yiannopoulos. And it looks like they're going to get him because Milo apparently has got a couple million dollars in debt. And we don't know that, but that's just what's being reported. So, Milo, if you're listening, babe, like, again, you make me laugh and I like your comedy. Again, don't always agree with you on a lot of things, but I think for the most part, you know, what's happening with the deplatforming of some of these conservatives is that it started with Alex Jones. And then it's going to Milo Yiannopoulos, and then Milo Yiannopoulos got pulled off of Patreon, which scares me. By the way, if you're a Patreon supporter, thank you very much, and I'm terrified, but please continue to support me on Patreon for now, patreon.com/APForLiberty. But is that it started with Alex Jones, right? So they're deplatforming people. They start with Alex Jones, and, you know, Gavin McInnes, not only is he being deplatformed, you know, he's losing his opportunity to speak to the masses, which, again, you need to do what I do and own your own website and own your own podcast. I'm sure he does to a degree. Again, I know I'm not giving him any advice. He's certainly more popular and famous than I am. But I will say that there's a lot of danger involved when we start taking these characters, we start scooching up the line, because you start with Alex Jones, right? And I'm not a conspiracy theorist guy, and but, you know, I feel an obligation to speak up for him in a way, because some of the way that these corporations are acting, guys, they've done it to me. And I know from the first thing the libertarian is going to think is, well, these are a private company, blah, blah, blah. So what? Fight back. Like, learn how to fight back. Some of these corporations are the enemies of the people. FYI, just so you know, just because they don't have a government authority doesn't mean that they don't have power. They do. And you can question how that power can be held and used. And you should. You absolutely should. I remember Chris Spengel from the We Are Libertarians podcast. If you've never heard of Chris Spengel, he's got a cool podcast, We Are Libertarians. And he stood up. I remember when I got banned from Facebook, he stood up for me. So I went out there and I started fighting Mark Zuckerberg publicly and Sheryl Sandberg, titans of industry, billionaires. Every personal information they have, they know everything about me, right? I'm running for federal office, and I fought back. And Chris Spengel's like, yeah, Austin's not some P-word, you know, but he said the P-word, and I didn't say the P-word. I'm not saying the P-word because P-word gets me in trouble. But Austin's not some P-word. Austin fought back, and all the libertarians were like, they're not even, like, standing up for free speech. I mean, I know they're going to say, well, it's not free speech because it's a private platform. Absolutely, and we can all affirm that and shut up because you say it every single goddamn time. We're allowed to question how people use their power, right? I'm not going to get into the thick libertarianism, thin libertarianism debate with you right now because I just don't have the strength. But let's get back on topic here, because what I really want to express is my concern, because when I see things like McInnes, you know, we don't know, again, what happened with the blaze, right? So I want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt there. But the government of Australia, which has turned so authoritarian in the last several decades, is blocking a visa because he's a bad character, right? They don't want to have him come and speak. I mean, it's this guy, he's not like Islamic terrorist or something here. I mean, the way to combat speech that you disagree with is good speech, logical speech, to go out there and combat against unreason. Because unreason is always going to exist, folks. It's always going to be out there. People are going to spread lies and misinformation and bullshit. They're going to do it through the mainstream media. They're going to do it from the alternative media. I mean, I don't blame people for feeling so tired and exhausted and so pissed off at the media, because we are always being so constantly duped, and we are being brainwashed, and we are being sold a bill of goods. I get it. I identify with that, folks. I get it. I get it. I get your frustration. But I worry about what's happening to some of these, I guess you could just say right-wing, I won't call them conservative necessarily, although some conservatives have suffered, and this libertarian has suffered the hands of being banned. I was banned by Twitter the week of the Republican primary here in Missouri. Twitter took me down. That's dangerous. At least it's power, and it's something we need to discuss. So I hope Gavin McInnes is fine. I'm actually reaching out to him tonight, or I'm trying to reach out to him tonight, trying to get on my radio show this week. I'd like to talk to him on KCMO Talk Radio. But before, I want to talk about another topic before we go. I want to talk about Baby It's Cold Outside, because there was an article that came across my desk written by an Eric Jurado, writing for this website I'd never even heard of, the Manila Standard. Which I guess is in the Philippines, and it's written in perfect English, or maybe they just translated it perfectly, but it's a beautiful article talking about all the furor over the fur. Is it furor or furor? Furor. F-U-R-O-R. Furor? I don't want to say furor, because then people think, oh, Nazi, ha, furor. Oh, no. Baby, It's Cold Outside. Eric Jurado writes it, and the title is, he's talking about this Christmas song that they're trying to ban everywhere, right? The sexy Christmas song they're trying to associate it with rape. The title of the article is called Have Pity on the Unromantic, for They Know Not What They Do. I already like it. I already like this title. Here we go. And it's kind of long, so listen in, and I'll make a little commentary along the way, as I always do. It's my podcast. I do what I like. All right. It's that time of year again where social justice warriors pour hate on the classic Christmas tune, Baby It's Cold Outside, a popular song written by Frank Lesser in 1944. It is a call-and-response duet in which a man tries to convince a woman that she should stay the evening because the weather is cold and the trip home would be difficult. While the lyrics make no mention of any holiday, it is popularly regarded as a Christmas song due to its winter theme. Lesser wrote the song for his wife and himself to perform at parties. He sold the song to MGM, which used it for the 1949 film Neptune's Daughter. It was sung by Esther Williams and Ricardo Montalban and won the Academy Award. Since 1949, it has been sung by many singers, including Bing Crosby, Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin, Michael Bublé, and Lady Gaga. In recent years, however, the romantic courtship tune is being called a rape song, thanks in part to some misplaced, hysterical outrage linked to the Me Too movement. The Me Too movement, with many international alternative names, is a movement against sexual harassment and sexual assault. Me Too spread virally in October 2017 as a hashtag on social media in an attempt to demonstrate the widespread prevalence of sexual assault and harassment. But as the song becomes so-called toxic, U.S. radio stations are removing it from their Christmas playlists, perhaps afraid of being attacked by the mob. But this approach to Baby It's Cold Outside has little to do with protecting women. What it proves is that the younger generation completely misses the point because of their overall ignorance of basic economics. Eric Jurado from the Philippines, you beautiful man. I hope I can contact you after the show and you get to hear this, because I have to say you've written a beautiful, beautiful piece here. Way to set it all up. Yes, people are overall basically ignorant of simple economics. When the song came out, it was seen as what it is, a play in courtship. The woman in this story holds all the cards as the man tries as best he can to persuade her to stay the night. But why is she holding all the cards? Look no further than when the male singer shows obvious signs he's craving what she offers as a woman, remarking that her lips look delicious. All the while, she serenely declares that her sister, well, she'll be suspicious, while her brother will be there, standing by the door. As Donald Simmons explains in The Evolution of Human Sexuality, sex is a female resource. Female sexuality by nature is shaped by certain restraints that make it scarce. That means their sexuality is naturally more valuable. In addition, the added costs of female fertility, such as the toll it takes on women's mental and physical health, all force women to care for their sexuality in a way men don't. Unlike men, whose sexuality is readily available and therefore cheap, women naturally serve as the suppliers of sex, so it's only natural that for them, sex comes at a cost. For men to get what they desire, they must then offer women something that, to women, is more or least as valuable as what female sexuality has to offer. That's demand and supply. This sets the stage for the type of courtship and romantic play we see in Baby It's Cold Outside. And back to our buddy Gavin McInnes. As scandalous commentator and notorious punk Gavin McInnes once explained, people who are offended by the classic Christmas duet are also disgusted by romance, because they think romance is nothing but a real-world economic transaction in which sex is the currency and the woman is the one with all the goods. To third-wave feminists, the fact that women hold this power is sickening, because it implies that they are nothing but meat, and that they serve no purpose but to satisfy men's hunger. But by looking at the dynamic from this perspective, they ignore that the woman is really the one dictating the rules in Baby It's Cold Outside. After all, she's the one enumerating the many reasons why she knows she shouldn't give in to his courtship that easily, while all he does is try to convince her by using external factors. The weather, the fact she could get sick walking in the snow, and of course the flickering flames in the fireplace. What this song implies is that men are just doing all they can to offer something of great enough value so women may stay, and that more often than not, men fail. In Baby It's Cold Outside, the woman is, quote, playing tough because perhaps she already likes him. Still, she intuitively knows he should work harder for her. Otherwise, what would that say about how she sees herself? In the end, this song is an ode to women and a reminder that they have all the power when it comes to romantic transactions. And yet, social justice warriors want this song gone because, quote, it's not something I would want my daughter to be in that kind of situation. As a radio host told reporters when defending the decision to ban the song, that is the very definition of foolishness. Have pity on the unromantic, for they know not what they do. Oh, thank you so much, Eric Urata. What a beautiful article. Well written. I'll make sure to share the link, the source to that link, in the podcast, whatever you're listening to. You can listen to it, of course, on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Podbean, iTunes, you name it, Spotify, you name it, we got it. And, of course, if you like these Freedom Report podcasts, you get them twice a week. And you can support that at patreon.com/AP4Liberty. Even a dollar a month helps, but obviously you can move your way up the belt level and get more. Get more by supporting me at patreon.com/AP4Liberty. Thank you so much, and I hope you all have a Merry Christmas. Please listen to me on KCMOTalkRadio.com this week. Otherwise, have a very Merry Christmas.
But baby, it's cold outside.
Got to go.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you drop in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my
ice.
Mother will start to
beautiful, worry. What's your
father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
Really I'd
beautiful,
worry.
Please don't
well,
hurry.
Maybe just a half a drink.
Put some records on while I pour.
Baby, it's...